we're talking here in the book of Jude. We're looking at a book that a lot of, many people don't preach from Jude like they used to, you know, because maybe it's pretty obvious and maybe it's pretty scary in there, I don't know. But there's things in Jude, it's all tribulation. That's the point. And you see things in here where people think that this is for the Gentiles today. Then you get the rightly dividers who pick and choose out of here. For example, this one guy who's very famous worldwide, and he draws while he preaches a lot and everything. And he starts out his commentary with the fact that, you know, you can't apply 1 John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, 1st, 2nd, all these things, because there's so much tribulational saints material in there. But they will take, like, for example, we said this morning, verse 1 about them that are sanctified by God the Father, and say, well, that's to the Gentiles today. Now, why would God mix that stuff up within the books when he says to follow Paul? None of this is by Paul. Now, if Paul says any of this stuff in his books, then yeah, there's where you show people this is why we do what we do, is because Paul says that. But to take somebody out of Jude and pull them out of there and put some of it back into the dispensation today and tomorrow and back Old Testament, blah, 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 blah. You know what you need to understand that? You need education. You need to go to their Bible college to get their 2 cents on this thing. You don't need anybody's 2 cents. You need to read the scriptures by yourself. And he says to follow Paul. It's that simple. You follow Paul. This is written to the Jews. This is written to the saints during the tribulation, which he's emphasizing on the Jews, but the Gentiles get their chance. But this is geared to the saints during the tribulation, put it that way, because that's what it says at the beginning. But we know that this is still Jewish-oriented. This is not to us today. This is tribulation-oriented totally. So tonight, we made it as far as verse 10 this morning, and what's going on here is Jude is warning those people during the tribulation about people that are just wicked as can be. They defile the flesh. They despise dominion. They speak evil of dignities. 7, 6, and 5, the comparison with those that were destroyed that didn't believe during the trekking across the desert. He compares those to the angels that left their first estate, it says, and has them reserved for lake of fire, and compares them to Sodom and Gomorrah. And now in verse 11, when he compares them in verse 10 to brute beasts, and Peter talks about brute beasts. So there's a lot of similarities between Jude and Peter. Well, of course, this is the tribulation. So why do we care about it? Well, my point tonight, DJ, is the fact that we are seeing a lot of this stuff increase. It's not the time of the tribulation. 666 isn't being demanded. To me, that's the biggest clue. And we're still here, you know, from that standpoint, but nobody would believe that one. Just got to show them that we, so far, you can have a... There was a guy the other day that got fired or something because he wouldn't wear a 666 pin on his... He was a number 666, and I don't know what the deal was, but he said it's the number that... No, it's not. It's not that number yet. So I got paid $666 a month one time in New York, and I didn't get concerned. We laughed about it, you know, but it's not the number yet. So anyway, this is tribulational stuff. And what he's doing here, he's warning these people about these wicked, rotten people. Now, these wicked and rotten people are existing more and more today. Well, Paul takes care of it. He tells us to avoid. He tells us to withdraw. He tells us to be careful of flattery. He tells us blah, blah, blah. So Paul tells us about that today, too, that they're happening today. But nothing like it will be during the tribulation, because it says up there in verse 8, defile the flesh. Our flesh is still defiled. It's still rotten. It's still full of sin. It can be possessed of the devil and out of problems. It's got its addictions, the whole bit. We're not going to get rid of that stuff. We can try to cut it back, but we're not going to get rid of it. And we don't want to go to the like the ultra gracers, where all you worry about, you don't worry about anything because you got God's grace. No, Paul tells us to please God. There's things we still have to do to please God. And what we're going to see tonight is we're going to compare some of these things here that going to take place during the tribulation, and we see how it's happening more and more today. And it's even happening to us, and I'll show you what I mean here. Even though I'm not trying to say this was written to us, but there's some things we can be admonished, like Paul says, be admonished from this stuff. Okay, so these people And we're not going to get more than half a verse tonight. We're in verse 11. He says, these people he's been talking about in verse 11, woe unto them, he says, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Stop. We're going to stop right there, and we're going to see what the way of Cain is. But let's go on here first, just to kind of get a grip of what's coming up here. And ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch, who preached this before even the flood here, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. That's never happened yet. So he's talking about the tribulation way back then. Why? Well, because the world, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Okay, verse 18 talks about mockers. They're sensual. In verse 19, they're very music-oriented. We'll talk about that later. Let's go back now. Let's go back and look at these things and see how much of any of this is happening today. Because remember, in verse 4, it says, certain men crept in unawares, and they're creeping in little by little. Now it's getting faster and faster, these ministers of righteousness, these pastors who are preaching people's righteousness, not God's righteousness. Preaching works gets them to heaven. Preaching that works doesn't get you saved, but it can get you to lose your salvation. Preaching that works gets you saved, but works doesn't get you saved, but works can rob your fellowship from God. All this kind of baloney, because they get it from these books back here. In the tribulation, they mess with their flesh and get their flesh defiled. They're off the membership list for heaven here. Paul talks about that in Hebrews when he writes to the Jews themselves, to the Hebrews. James talks about it. Peter talks about it. John talks about it. No, Jude talks about it. So let's look at this. We've got three things in verse 11. They've gone in the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam. We'll talk about that Wednesday night. And perished in the gainsaying of Kor. And you're going to see that we are having a lot of this take place today, and more and more and more of it. Let's look at that, gone in the way of Cain. Okay? So let's look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. What is the way of Cain that these people are going to go in? Well, they're doing a lot of it today. And I'm going to say, so are we, if we're not careful. This is what's causing a lot of people to stumble today. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, it talks about Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? In other words, why did he slow him? Why did he kill him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. He was jealous, envious. Okay, that's an easy one. But let's do this. Let's look at envy. Envy has always been interesting to me since I first looked into the study of envy, because it's a serious thing. And I've been around, I've talked with people and listened to people write to me, and I understand people's lives, how they've grown in Paul, grown in the risen Savior, and gotten their I hate that word, and have studied their Bible and come to realize that they've changed their life, and yet they're falling backwards. What's happening? Well, one of them is they're envious. It's envy. We look out there and we see people that are happier than we are. We look out there in the lost world or in the religious world and we see people more successful than we are. We go and we look around and people are doing more fun things than we are. And they're louder, they're partying. You know what I'm saying? We look out there, and if we don't keep our mind on that book and set our section on things above, we're going to become envious. And so we start doing what they do because we just get tired of saying no all the time. We're envious of the clothes they wear. We know they show too much, but that's a nice-looking outfit. Or the guys with the way they wear their stuff. Or the kids, you know. Look at all the tech stuff we have going on today. Look at all the idleness of time that we know that Americans have. Do we want to fall into that same routine and rut ourselves? The Wii machine, the football, the sports games, the movies, the all the things. There's a lot of good stuff out there. I mean, you know, there it is. It's fun stuff. That's why we're all so much in debt, is because we have to have all this stuff. And we go out. This is why people get the jobs they have to get. Why? Because they're envious. They want more stuff. And it's tough. This is our flesh that we're fighting. As Paul said, he did the same thing in Romans chapter 7. So, I'm going to show you here envy tonight. We're going to look at envy, which is the way of Cain. And in the tribulation, people are going to have gone in the way of Cain. They're not going to be interested in doing right to please a God. They're not going to be right to please a Savior. They're going to be doing what they want to do. Their own lust, it says there. Walk after their own ungodly lusts. Why? Because they're envious. That's one of the three things that people are going to do, and are already doing it in some way, in lots of ways. Let's go look at some verses here. Then I'll give you some summaries, and you'll see what I'm talking about here. Job chapter 5, verse 2 says that envy slayeth the silly one. It says Job 5, 2, for wrath killed the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. The silly one. Think of a silly person. They're not thinking, they're giggly, they're loud or whatever. They don't care. They're just there to have a good time. And envy, this kind of a person, according to Job, this kind of a person gets into there and envies other people, other things, other places, other ways, other activities, other whatevers. And it slays the silly one. The silly one gets caught up. Remember, Paul teaches us all the time to be sober minded. That's sound doctrine. And it's tough these days. I mean, it's easy to be so sober-minded, you don't even breathe without complaining and whining. Well, Paul tells us, okay, don't complain, don't whine, don't murmur. You know, where's the joy that the risen Savior has given to us on the inside? We've got to deal with that. So that's all Paul. But in the tribulation, envy is going to kill these people. It's going to destroy their salvation. Is it going to destroy our salvation? Of course not. We know better with Paul's teachings. We know what happens with salvation. We're cut away from our flesh, so our flesh gets defiled. It stays defiled. And it can still kill us. I mean, it can still slay us if we're silly and don't care, but we still end up on the other shore, as it says in the shipwreck chapter. But still, envy can tear us down, can tear that testimony down. He says in Proverbs 3:31, envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. That's wisdom. And that fits with Paul's teachings. Envy thou not the oppressor. One of the things we do, we tend to forget that there are oppressor. Because they're not all that oppressive today. They're fun. They're family. They're friends. And they're allowing you to live the way you believe. And yet, deep down, they love to see you blow it. They love to see you go back in your clothes. They love to see you go back in your activities. They love to see you go back in what you say. They love to see how you act differently in restaurants like you used to. They love to see what you're doing. They love to see what you're listening to. And I know people after people after people that have given way because of envy. I could talk about the money thing with envy, but we don't dare because that comes up later with Balaam. So we'll just stick with Cain's way, and that's just jealousy, envy. Okay, Proverbs 14:30. Envy is the rottenness of the bones. Okay, the bones are our structure. We get arthritis. It's like our bones are rotting. Bone marrow problems, that kind of stuff. And it compares envy to that because it tears away at your structure. You can be miserable the rest of your life, like arthritic people are, or bone disease problems. It just hurts all the time. Envy is the rottenness of the bones. And that's quite a comparison. And most of the time our misery is because we're envious of them. They shouldn't be happier than we are. Let's not blame them for being happy. Let's blame us, ourselves, for why aren't we, where's our joy? Their joy out there is in the things they're doing. Why do we want to do what they're doing to have our happiness? Our joy is on the inside. Yeah, well, our joy on the inside, but right on our outside, we're miserable, hard people. We're getting clobbered. We understand what they don't want to talk to us. They don't want to hear about it. They don't want to change their ways. And so you're the one that gives in. It's just the way it goes. But why? Because we're envious of them. He says in Proverbs 23:17. Let not thine heart envy sinners. But we do. We envy sinners. That's why we have to have two jobs in the family. That's why we have to do the things we have to do. We think, we say we're good, such good justifiers. Let not thine heart envy sinners. But we do. We do. Proverbs 27:4. Who is able to stand before envy? Envy will take us down. Now, in the tribulation, it'll destroy the salvation. For us today, it'll destroy our testimony. It'll destroy the cause that we have. It'll destroy what we've done in the past. It'll destroy all that eventually. So, we still crumble because of envy. Now, here's what I find very interesting. Those are just words of wisdom. They're from Proverbs and even from Job. Let's go to Mark. Let's go to Mark 15:10. And let's see how bad envy really can be. And let's see what Paul deals with envy. And do we have any warnings about envy ourselves? First, let's go to Mark 15:10. Well, you know, why did they kill Jesus? Well, they're envious of him. 15:10, it says. Mark, I'm in Matthew. Okay, let's go to Mark. Let's go to Mark 15:10. I suppose I said that right in the first place. Mark 15:10 says, for he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. You know, what I just say about it, I'll just get to it. Look at Acts chapter 7, verse 9. So they killed Jesus. Why? Envy. Let's go to Acts 7, verse 9. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. So the whole Joseph story was because of envy they had towards him. Now let's go to Acts 13. Let's go to Acts 13, verse 45. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul. Okay, now in Paul's time, Paul got up with some crowds, said he had some people that believed him. So they're envious of that. So they hated Paul because they're filled with envy. We don't have that today, do we? They're not envious of what we have. They're not envious that you're wearing the clothes you wear. They're not envious because you won't go do what they do. They're not envious of you. Why? I think it's because we show that we're not happy about it. We're miserable about it. We complain about it. Maybe we don't. Maybe they see it in our face. I mean, why can't we be around some of these people, unless they're the ones we're supposed to avoid, and still be who we're supposed to be, still dressed how we're supposed to be dressed, still talk the way we're supposed to talk, and all that stuff. Second Timothy and Timothy and Titus. Why can't we be that kind of a Christian? And have them be envious of us. Maybe because that's all they see is the outside. They don't understand what's going on the inside. They don't understand that operation made without hands. They don't understand imputation. They've never heard of all things are lawful. They don't even understand how can that be if they do hear about it. They don't get this stuff. Well, somebody's got to tell them. You think they're going to get it by looking at you? They're going to wonder why you're so miserable. They know why you're so miserable, because you really don't want to dress that way. They know why you're miserable, because you really want to buy this stuff and you can't. They know why you're unhappy, because you're not able to do some of the stuff they can do. I'm sorry, but all things are lawful. Oh, I know. It's not supposed to cause somebody to stumble. It's not supposed to be an occasion for our flesh. It's supposed to be edifying in a proper manner. It's supposed to be expedient. It's supposed to be the right thing to do for who you are, et cetera, woman or man or whatever. And what's the other one? Oh, there's another one there, expedient. It's supposed to have a power over you. Otherwise, hey, go out there and do it. But we don't think of those things. Why don't we think of those things? Because we are tired of it and we just want to go do it. We just want to be their way. We want to go the way of Cain. We're envious. Well, it's going to become a serious issue in the tribulation. Hey, it's already happening to us now than before it did. I don't think it was like this 10 years ago. 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. I think people were happy to be a Christian. Whether they were or they weren't, based on division. But see, I think back in those days, they just went, from what I've read, they just went into Paul's books anyway, because that's where you get the Christian walk. Christians have been wearing dresses for years. Christians, men have been wearing not the tight jeans for years before all this came about. They just knew. Why? How would they just know that? By reading Paul. What are we doing? We're becoming more and more envious today. The world is, you know, why would anybody want to have kids today other than the cool joy of having kids? I'm not knocking that. But look at the world these kids are going to be in. That whole world is just so enticing. I mean, these computers and these games and the stuff, and we can travel. We got these cars. We got $500,000 million for a certain car, you know, or a house. We've got to have all this stuff. We just have to. Nobody wants to start scratching and then work their way up at the jobs, because that isn't the way it's done anymore. We're envious. Look at Acts 17. Acts 17, 5. Paul had had crowd. People were envious of Paul in his day, of the crowds that he got, you know. Why do people want to get rid of Paul's teachings? Because Paul's teachings, pastors hate Paul's teachings, because they actually, people can actually have that joy and knowledge of the risen Savior by themselves. So they don't need this pastor guy. No, it's good to have him, and there's a purpose for him, da-da-da-da. But if you can't have one, you don't have to. You got a Bible. You can do that Bible by yourself. You're envious of church. I know you want to go and sing with everybody. I like to sing. I like to sing with everybody. I like to play piano again and have people sing along and, you know, direct the thing. I like to have people in a church. I like to have all you guys up there. But what is in a church, what do people ask you? How many do you have in your church? How many do you have on your website? How many read your sermons? Why do you ask that? Does that make it right or not? I'd like to be able to say, oh, about 200. I'd like to say, if we could get together and have a great time. I'd like to have that stuff. Envious. Well, if you go to this church, you can still hear the music. You can still have the piano playing. You can still have the potlucks. You can still... okay, the pastor's wrong. But, you know, no, we're envious of that whole scene. We're so addicted to that stuff, we become envious when we don't have it. I'm not very envious. Yes, you are. We all are. We miss it. And after a while, we miss it so much, we'll go to it. We'll go back to it. Well, in the tribulation, Jude's point is, you lose it all. You'll perish. What's he say here? He says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Well, woe unto us? Didn't say that to us. If we go the way of Cain, that stuff's going to burn the judgment seat of Christ. We're not. In the tribulation, if they go the way of Cain, they are going to burn. Let's go. Did I say Acts 17:5 yet? Yeah, here we go. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and sought out all the city on an uproar. I mean, who causes the trouble in the community? Is it Paul? They say that he's the one that disturbed. No, it's you guys that get so upset that Paul shows up. Who makes the scene at the family reunion? You do? No, you just wanted to say something that the Bible says. Who gets upset? They do. And why are we envious of them? I don't get upset if somebody brings up other Bible stuff. I think it would be a fantastic opportunity. What bothers me is when they won't listen to you talk about it. Well, wait a minute. You just quoted a Bible verse. You mentioned something, kind of a comment about God. Do you mind if I say something? They're the ones that get upset. They're the ones that have the envy. And yet sometimes we leave the gathering. We leave the group. Or we leave the store. Wishing, oh, I wish I could have bought that. Oh, I want that. I'm envious. Everybody else has one. Everybody else does this. Everybody else wears this. I know they're showing too much, but, you know, that's okay now. It's not wrong. Yeah, it is. In a way, it is, because it's going to spoil your testimony. In a way, it's because you can't stop yourself. That's what's wrong about it. You're envious. And what did it say? Envy slays. We're not to envy the oppressor. Envy is the rottenness of our bones. We're not to envy sinners. We will fall because of envy. Different dispensations, you fall differently, put it that way. Well, let's look at some other ones. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6. verse 4, talking about somebody who corrects the words of God, put it that way. One of the things it says, whereof cometh envy. Why? Because he's proud. And these are people that teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, and they change the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. So these are the Bible correctors, the people that change the scriptures, for example. Why do they do that? They're envious of this Bible. There's not a Bible version that, how do I say this? There's not a Bible version that's come out that has compared itself to the King James Bible. Why do they compare it to the King James Bible? Because none of the other Bibles have had the results the King James Bible has, so they're envious. They want the results that this King James Bible has. They're envious. They'll never tell you that. The Bible tells us that right there. Whereof cometh envy. These are people with corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. Your grandma and grandpa, your favorite aunt and uncle, your mother, your father, whatever, can be in this category right here. Why do they get so mad at you? Envy. That's just what it is. They'll never in a million years admit it. Look at Romans 1:29. Romans 1:29. People drop you because of envy. They're envious. They can't put up with it. Romans 1:29. That whole chapter, chapter 1, one of the characteristics of these wicked people is full of envy. Why do these burglars, why do these killers want to kill you? Just to kill? No, they're envious of you. There's an envy in there. Romans 13:13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. That's today. We're not to envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. That's envy when we do that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Just over a few knocker pages. I went too far with my chunk here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. He's talking to church people here. What's going on in these churches that they're bickering with everybody? What's going on? Envying. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? You know, and it goes on. But the whole thing there is envy. The people that behave in church the way they do is because they're envious. I remember so many different times in church that somebody's mad about something to somebody. Now, if there was a righteous situation and the people were wrong, that's fine. But you're not mad at them. You're not envious of them because they got to go to a dirty movie. Or you preach about movies about children and how they're not PG, and even PG is dangerous, the subliminal stuff that's in there and the things they teach the kids, and then they go and take the kids, they go and see the movies anyway. Are you envious of that? Well, I hope not. But the other issue is, no, it's okay not to be happy with that in other people's lives. Church is not supposed to get along based on actions, because everybody's not. It'd be nice if everybody believed what the scriptures would say in the priest, that'd be great, but it didn't take me long to find out that doesn't happen. But when they get mad, it's because they're envious. Women squabble each other because they're envious of the other woman. The other woman lost weight. So you're envious of them. The other lady made a lot of money one day doing something. So you're envious of that person. This lady tells everybody on Facebook how fantastically marvelous her husband is. So you become envious of that, and you fall for that trap. And then 2 years later, you find out that they get a divorce. But you don't know about that at the time. Facebook is a farce book. It's just a lie. It's a false book. Men, this other guy's got himself a nice house. Well, you've got to have a nice house. You've got to have a nice barn. You've got to do something good. You've got to have this good car. What is this? Envy towards somebody else. It'll destroy you. They get these clothes, and they look good on them, but they don't look good on you. But it doesn't matter. It's envy. And before you know it, you'll give in. You'll do what they're doing. Yeah, but I know you'll justify it. Men will justify it just like ladies do. Well, I just had to get one. Had to get one a little bit bigger. Somebody gave me a revolver one time at the church because I had met a highway walking guy, and he was a scary guy. So that night, one of the churchmen who had hung around to protect me, because I can't defend myself against a mouse, and this guy gave me a gun. Gave me a 9mm semi-automatic Smith & Wesson, I think it was. Really a good time. I never had one before. Well, it wasn't a week later that another guy in the church gave me a rifle. I thought, well, hey, I can play this game pretty good. This guy was envious that I got along with this other guy because he gave me a revolver. No, because this other guy was more biblically oriented than this other guy. But he gave me a gun thinking he was going to buy my pastoral friendship or whatever. Envious. And guys, I mean, everybody's got to have a bigger gun than the other guy. I learned that. It's just amazing. We were having our Santa shoot, and some of the guys had to go back home to get their other guns because some of these guys had some big guns there, so they had to get their bigger guns. So this other guy was out to buy some guns. Why? Because of envy. And we all deal with it. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to us. And this whole thing, again, back to the way of Cain, is a tribulational thing, but we're already starting for it. And I really don't think Christians were this way before. I think we are much more envious today than we ever have been. And if anybody's crashing or going downhill or changing, and they may not admit it, they say, no, I'm okay. No, you're not. Your envy is getting the best of you. Let's see, we do Corinthians. We are at 1 Corinthians 3:3. Did we read that one yet? Yes, yet, carnal. Go to 2 Corinthians 12:20. See, here we go. Biblical counseling again. Actually, to do with our walk. Let's not be envious. Pretty hard, isn't it? We don't have much, and a lot of people have a lot. You can be envious of somebody's children and hate your children more. You can be envious of somebody's husband and go after and get that husband. You can be envious of somebody's wife and go get that wife someday. You can be envious and it can destroy your side. Envious is destructive all the way around. 2 Corinthians 12:20 says here, yes, for I fear lest when I come I shall not find you as I would, and that I should be found, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not. Debates, envyings. So when Paul shows up to these guys' churches, for example, he's going to find envyings going on in there. And that's what's happening today, more and more. So religious people, religion, there's envy in religion. Your church is bigger. Come to our church. We have a bigger coffee bar. Come to our church. Our sermons are shorter. Your pastor talks too long. Come to ours. Their music is better at ours. I mean, it's envy. Come to our church and just sing the old-fashioned hymns. You're almost embarrassed, some people, almost embarrassed to say that our church has an old building. And, well, how about in our case? Yeah, where do you go to church? Well, we don't go to church. We do it on the website. Are they going to be envious of that? No. Are they going to be envious of what you're learning? Well, they could be, but they don't know what you're learning if you don't tell them. And we don't want to tell them because we're envious of their lifestyle, of their manner of life, even though we know what Paul's manner of life is supposed to be. We can be just as guilty. For example, look at Galatians chapter 5:26. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. That's to us. That's Paul telling us, listen, quit envying one another. If you really want something, write to Rebecca Orchard and ask her if you can have her brain tumor. She just found out the other day, if you know her from the old days, that she had a brain tumor. Are you envious of that? Ask her for the brain tumor. She'll be glad to give it to you. She's also got cancer, and it's in remission from what I tell, but it's still causing issues, arthritis and lots of issues. She'd be glad to give them to you. Talk to Jeanette. She would have been glad to let you go have our heart surgery instead of her. You know, talk to, in California. Now they're going to be listening to this thing and they're going to be embarrassed. Eyes for You, it's Chris. And she's got, Billy Doe why don't you just go away? We're doing a sermon here. Why don't you just go away on this thing? Somebody dropped in here. I'm going to just block the guy and be done with it. There you go. He's gone. Mark and it's just, is it Chris? My mind has just gone completely. Yes, it's Chris. And eye surgery coming up. So if you want, Mrs. Whipper there. I never did call her Chris. It says Mrs. Whipper. Yeah. So she'd be glad. She, you know, you can be envious of all the fact that she can't see. She already had surgery in one eye. Now she has to do it in the other. She won't be able to see for a while, and it causes her, makes her go nuts like it would with me. Let's be envious of, no, he tells us not to be envious. Now what if you've got, what if you're the one on the cancer side or the brain tumor side? You'd be envious of this other person, and you make yourself miserable. Because you don't know this other person, what their problem is. We've all got them. There's no reason to be envious. It's our flesh that gets envious. Which is what it is during the tribulation. That's why we can learn from this thing. So then finally in Titus chapter 3. Go ahead, Pastor. Tell me I'm envious. I don't care. I just want some of this stuff. I can't stay. Yes, because we're around it all the time. It's hard not to. It's easy for me because I can't handle this high-tech stuff anyway. You know, from that standpoint. But Titus chapter 3 here, I've got chapter Titus 3, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, and deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy. So envy is not something new, but we ought to realize that the problems we're having, a lot of it's going to do with envy. And they are supposed to envy us. We are not supposed to envy them, according to the way Paul had this stuff going. If you sit down with somebody and you show them what you know about your Bible, they will be envious of what you know about your Bible. But they will not be envious about the Bible you have. They will not be envious about the fact that you do change your way you dress, the way you look. You cover up the skin, you go shamefaced with your modesty. They don't like the fact that you're not as loud and boisterous as you were before. They don't like the fact that you're not trying to outbuild them with your barn in your house now. You're not buying one extra horse. You're not trying to overdo their gunning. It makes them feel bad because it embarrasses them. And so, you know, it's a circle that is very destructive. But at least we are the ones they're not supposed to be envious. And it's tough because as we get closer and closer to the tribulation, envy is one of the big deals. And he calls it the way of Cain. And the way he says it again is, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Are we gone in the way, or are we going in the way? Well, thankfully, the rapture will take us out before we've gone in the way. But if we're going in the way of Cain today, if we're doing this envy stuff, and we know it's making us miserable, I mean, you look at, I mean, I go back to this farce book, this Facebook thing. Nothing makes a person envy like Facebook. Because everybody's lying about their happy marriages, their marvelous children, you know, their cute little pets, and all the things that they're doing. That's a brag page. And if you know the people on it, which I do, some of them, I know that they're lying. I know they're lying. They want everybody to think that they're having, they love their husbands, and I know they don't. I know these people, what they think about their children. It's just a brag page, and it's a bunch of lies. And if you're not careful, you're going to be envious of that stuff, and you will be miserable. And like it says, it'll slay you. Envy not the oppressor. Envy is the rottenness of the bones. Let not thine heart envy sinners. That's your heart envying sinners. And who is able to stand before envy? Not us. It'll still take us down one way or the other. Just not like it'll take us down during the tribulation. But we still learn from envy. Let's learn from this sermon and these scripture words tonight that we're probably just going to continue envying and continue the way we are. But let's just realize that this is the worst it's ever been. And it's going to get worser. And it's going to be destroying cells. It's going to be destroying souls eventually. Now it's just destroying testimonies and probably keeping people from being saved because they're not envious of what we have. We're envious of what they have and how they look and what they do. And if we go back to their way, they're not going to look towards your way. They're not going to be envious of how you dress. They're not going to be envious of where you go. They're not going to be envious of how you behave. They're not going to be envious of how you don't quite talk to people like everybody in the world does. They're not going to be envious of you unless you do it with comfort, with peace, with assurance, with confidence, that what you're doing pleases God. You're not arrogant, but you're comfortable. And it's okay. You really don't need whatever it is you're envious of. And we'll stay happier in this wicked world, and that's the way it's got to be. Now, Wednesday night, we'll look at the error of Balaam. And they all tie together. But we'll deal with that, maybe the gainsaying, of course, I don't know how things go. Just remember, these that have gone the way of Cain in the tribulation are going to destroy people. They're going to destroy themselves. So, there you go. There's the way of Cain.